This is Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on News Radio, KFGO.
Hour number two of the two-hour program that is Afternoons Live kicks off right now here on KFGO. We are broadcasting live from the Fargo Dome, Northern Ag Expo. Day one, of which there are more than just one, so if you can't get out here today, guess what? You can come on out tomorrow, take in some of the panels. You can visit with the number of the vendors that are down here on the floor as well. One of the things, there was a panel earlier, and of course, a friend of the show here, been on many times. Well, he was one of the hosts of those panels, Dr. Fran Olson, NDSU Marketing Specialist. Back on the program, Dr. Olson, how you been?
It's been a pretty busy fall, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's one thing after another. It's weather, it's trade, it's commodity price. I mean, I know it's an old cliche, but it's really been the perfect storm when it comes to agriculture over this last fall. And Dr. Olson, I'm not sure, I know you had meetings up until now, but I just heard on the CBS News update, top of the hour, one of the things you and I have discussed a lot on this program is trade, and especially the China trade. Well, I just heard the comment from the President of the United States saying, in essence, well, you know what, if we might have to wait till after the 2020 election to get a deal with China. He's in no rush. Your take on that?
Yeah, and that I there was some comments about that earlier in the day that I heard, and I think right now a lot of what's going on is trying to get some positioning, both on the U.S. side as well as the Chinese side. A lot of the press releases, a lot of the statements that are being made really seem to be a posturing or positioning kind of move. I know the grain markets are obviously watching this really closely, but they've also kind of taken the position that, well, we're really not going to put any kind of major premium in the market or any major discount in the market until we figure out exactly what's going on. They're getting a little bit tired of trying to deal with all of the rumors and the different stories going on. So at least on the grain market side, they're discounting some of this new information. But I know on the stock market, when we look at the equity side, when we look at people's investment portfolio, the stock market is still paying very, very close attention to every comment that comes out either from the U.S. side or from the Chinese side. So a lot of this is kind of, in my read of the tea leaves, is a positioning move. This is trying to put the right tone into the negotiations. Right now, they are getting to be a pretty tense situation. I know we're trying to move forward. Both parties would like to see at least a phase one agreement made. But again, they want to make sure that the terms of those trade are as favorable as they possibly can get from their perspective. And so, again, my take on it, my read on it, this is really kind of a positioning move. I think they're trying to gain as much, put as much pressure on the other side as possible to try and get some concessions.
Well, Dr. Olson, one of the things that, you know, we're talking positioning. I know that we've heard the position that farmers are in, it's been alluded to, well, they're kind of pawns in this chess game. Farmers here in the upper Midwest are feeling the impacts when really the fight seems to be over intellectual property. And I guess my question is, are places like Silicon Valley, are they feeling the impacts at all, or is it just us farmers here in the Midwest?
Well, there's no question that the ag community and farmers, in particular in Northern Plains here, because of the soybean trade, have been hit probably the hardest in the country. Although, you know, again, farmers in Iowa and farmers in Nebraska are also feeling the pain as well. The Silicon Valley folks, it really depends. There are some companies that are very dependent upon supplies for either parts, for some of the components that they have in their electronic equipment for manufacturing. An example of one that's probably been hit relatively hard has been Apple. Not only is Apple trying to sell as many products into the Chinese market as possible, but they also have some manufacturing facilities in China. And, of course, those have been under tremendous pressure because of the trade deal as well, or the trade negotiations and the trade war. So, it really does vary by company and kind of what is your connection with, or how dependent are you on the supply chain from China or China as a customer. But I think in most cases, if you were to do the math on it, when you look at individual companies or individual people that have been harmed by it, the agricultural front has really been kind of the front end of this crash that we've seen. So they're taking a hit now.
Well, Dr. Fran Olson, our guest, the director of the Quinton Burdick Center for Cooperatives, also Department of Agribusiness Applied Economics at NDSU. We're looking at December 15th as a deadline. I know we're trying to get this phase one part of an agreement, if at all. We've been kind of drug along with that. But December 15th, if there is really nothing that's moved in the next 12 days, we're looking at adding tariffs on our side to imports on Chinese products. What, if anything, would that have an impact of when we're talking about just the long-term negotiation of this?
Yeah, and that's going to be the next major deadline. And again, I think some of, as I said earlier, I think some of the discussions going on right now is really posturing in front of that deadline. So on December 15th, the U.S. is going to put on additional tariffs really onto the last set of products that we import from China. So if those tariffs were to go in place, we're basically having some kind of tariff on every product that's purchased from China. The significance of that one, though, is that up until this point, the tariffs have really been on, as I said, parts or components or ingredients, if you will. This last set of tariffs are really going to be on finished products. So these would be consumer-ready products that come into the United States that are just repackaged and then put into the store shelves here in the U.S. And so this last round of tariffs are going to be much more directly impact consumer and consumer prices than, let's say, some of the computer circuit boards that go into the computers or the cell phones that we're buying as a component. The manufacturers have been absorbing a lot of that price differential, but in this case, it's going to be really an end consumer product that will be impacted. So this one's going to be a little bit different, and I think consumers may respond a little bit differently to this tax hike.
Well, and that's exactly what it is. It would be a tax hike on Americans. China's not sending us a check, as some have tried to lead the public to believe. So if that's going to be the case, say we meet that deadline, those tariffs go on December 15th, that's prime shopping season for the holidays. And I know that your focus has been on agribusiness, but have you been following along? Have some of these retail stores, have they been front-loading their purchases to try to beat that just in case for the consumer's sake?
And there is some of that happening where the companies have purchased the products to have it not only in the store shelf ready for, you know, the Christmas buying season, but then also to fill the warehouse so that when the tariffs do come on, they have some inventories to be able to sell that don't have that tariff applied to it. So, you know, will it have a dramatic impact on, say, the bill that you have to pay for your Christmas gifts this year? Probably not. But if you're to try and purchase something shortly after the tariffs went on, I think it's going to be much more difficult. I do think we're going to start to see some, especially in consumer electronics, we're going to start to see some price hikes as we come after the first of the year, because that's really when the full effect of this new round of tariffs will be in place. And again, the December 15th was very strategic from a timing standpoint to try and put as much pressure on, in particular, some of the Chinese suppliers to make sure that they voiced their concerns about the tariff hikes.
Dr. Fran Olson, our guest, and I kind of want to take a step back to what we heard at the top of the hour when it comes to no rush, it sounds like, from the president, from the administration to get this thing done. You mentioned that it's maybe positioning in hopes that, well, that'll get people to the table, get it done. Let's just say, for instance, things aren't agreed upon. 15th hits, we have those tariffs go on. Do you foresee perhaps a third round of an MFP for farmers across the country, or is it too early to tell?
It's a little bit too early to tell, but again, if these negotiations kind of continue to drag on, we don't have any major movement. The odds in my book right now, as I look forward into the crystal ball, I think the odds of a third round of MFP payments are relatively high. Even if we were to get some kind of phase one agreement relatively quickly, it's still going to take a while before the markets respond and the Chinese start buying, you know, agricultural products again. So I think given the political pressure and given the economic pressure that agriculture is under right now, that the probability for a third round of MFP payments is actually very good.
Along those lines, and Dr. Freynolds, and I know how busy you are, and I can let you go, but we've had two rounds of those payments now, and some of the data coming out, some of the research showing, for example, this latest round, a big chunk of those dollars are going down to cotton farmers down in Georgia instead of soybean farmers in North Dakota. Have you heard any, discussion on that when it comes to people in your realm, when it comes to agribusiness as to perhaps why that is or the impact that's had on those that I think were more directly impacted by this trade negotiation, this trade war, for some reason aren't getting the trade aid that was supposed to be directly in supporting them? Have you heard any of the background discussion on that?
Yeah, and again, just to put things in perspective, the cotton market, I'm not a big cotton guy. I mean, that's not something I have to follow on a regular basis.
Sure.
But the cotton markets have been impacted, and we historically have sold a significant amount of cotton to China in the past. So the fact that there is this trade dispute has also impacted them. So there is, when USDA came up with the numbers, they tried to be as fair as they could about, well, which crops have been impacted the most. But there were a couple crops that were kind of left out of the mix. The one that has locally that has had the biggest kind of missed the boat on some of the benefits have been the canola farmers, because the canola prices tend to be very closely tied to soybean prices because they're both oil seeds. So as the soybean prices come down, the canola prices have followed in. And we don't sell canola directly to China. And so when we do the math on which crops or which commodities have been most impacted, the impact on canola has really been an indirect one. It's not been a direct one. And so I've been, working with the Canola Growers Association and trying to prepare some information so they can make their case to USDA that the canola farmers have really been kind of overlooked in some of the damage that's been created from the trade war.
Well, and Dr. Olson, we've had a number of texts in throughout our conversations here, and just having comments, whether it's been with an interview with you or just the talk of trade in general, those canola farmers have certainly let it be known that they've been forgotten in this whole thing. And if there is a need for a third round, hopefully we can get that corrected through the USDA. Dr. Olson, anything else before I let you go? I always enjoy the conversation. You're able to take something as big and broad as this trade war and explain it in a way that an average Joe like me can actually follow along with. So I always appreciate that.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it. It is a really complex process, and there's a lot of moving parts. But I guess we're just going to have to stay tuned and be alert to what's happening. And again, if you have additional questions, please let me know. I'd be happy to try and help out.
Well, perhaps expecting a phone call December 15th, or if not the 16th, when we pass that deadline. We'll have to discuss what it means if things get into effect. But Dr. Olson, I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon, my friend.
All right. Thank you much.
Yeah, you bet. Dr. Frey Olson, he is with the Department of Agribusiness and Applied Economics of NDSU. I'm Tyler Axis. This is After News Live. Rolling on. We're broadcasting live out at the Fargo Dome for the Northern Ag Expo. I'll be here for about the next 40 minutes or so. If you have a chance, stop on by, buy a KFGO cookbook, say hello. I'd love to get a chance to visit with you. Coming back to you, your texts, your phone calls, right after this quick pause here on KFGO.
There's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding. You just wish the trip was through.